Ecclesiastes chapter 11. That's in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes. If you can find Psalms and Proverbs, just keep on turning a little further past that and you will come across Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 9. We'll read that and pray, but we're going to dip on over into Ecclesiastes 12 as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 9. We'll read through this verse, then we'll pray. Rejoice, young man, while you are young, and let your heart be glad in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all of these things, God will bring you to judgment. Let's pray. God, we come to you, we thank you for your good word. And I pray, God, that in these few moments that you would help us to be free of the distractions and the worries of the world. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us this morning, that we would hear from you, that you would meet us where we are. You know what our struggles are and our sins are and our worries are and our pains are. And I pray, God, that we would just bring those before you this morning. I pray, God, that you would be with me, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you, God. There are no words that I can say that are any good if they do not come from you. So I pray that you take away any pride or fear that is within me and let your Holy Spirit lead us this morning. All for your kingdom and all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Amen. If you've never read the book of Ecclesiastes, I would encourage you to do it. Be prepared, though. It doesn't really read like a lot of the other books in Scripture. And it can seem quite depressing as you read through the book. Because what the author of Ecclesiastes, probably Solomon, points out, is really, there's not a whole lot in this life that matters. Everything we do is vanity, is a phrase that we see often in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's all useless in some sense. We work hard and we build up a bunch of wealth, or we obtain a lot of land, or we buy a nice home, or whatever it is. Not necessarily that all those things are bad. Some things are, some things aren't. But at the end of the day, everything's going to be gone. We're going to be gone. Everything we have is going to be gone. And what's the purpose of life? That's kind of the idea here. Is there something more than what we see with just all of the materialistic and the worldly things that we see? Well, by the end of the book, we do see his main point at the end of chapter 12. And that is, when all is said and done, we are called to fear God and keep his commands. That's ultimately what matters. That's ultimately what the book of Ecclesiastes is leading us to. And you're saying, well, good, I don't have to read it now. You just told me the whole book in about 2 minutes. But you need to read it, because you'll probably relate with a lot of those things. You'll probably relate with a lot of the difficulties about how hard life is and how frustrating it is and how sometimes you just want to give up. But we have to remember as we go through this life is that there's more to it maybe than just what we see in a worldly sense. That we serve a God who created us. And that's who we need to remember, and that's who we need to focus on. And that's the point here as we look at Ecclesiastes 11 and Ecclesiastes 12. He gives us a good command. He says, rejoice, young man, while you are young. Now, how many in here are young? What is young? I don't know what young is. I guess it depends on who you ask. It's all relative. Mr. Fred, he just turned 97 this week. I expect to him probably 75 seems young. Those of you who are 75, you might think 60 seems young. And so it goes down the list. But what's the call right here for us? He says, rejoice, young man, while you are young. Now, why is that? Well, the fact is real simple. As you get older, there are just things that you can't do that you used to could do when you were young. It's going to happen. Now, I'm only 42. I think that that's young. But there are some things that I do now that used to not bother me, and now they do bother me. Now, I don't run very much these days, but I used to could run when I was younger. And now when I try to run, I run like an old man. And somehow, between like 35, which was probably the last time I ran any decent amount of time, and 42, it's like I've forgotten how to run. You know, here's something else that when you're young, y'all don't even appreciate this yet. When you're young, you can just get up and go do what you want to do. If you want to get up and go play baseball, football, basketball, whatever, you ain't even got to stretch. You can just jump out of the bed in the morning and you can go. And you're not going to pull nothing. But you try that when you turn 40. If you don't stretch, you're going to be in trouble. That's just part of it. You gotta stretch a little bit. And so while we are young, we have a lot more ability to do things. Our eyesight is good. We can hear better. We're stronger. Our balance is good. All of these things go as we begin to get older. Those things begin to go, and they begin to go quickly. And so what does he say? His point is, I'll sum it up as we get into it, is that life is short. Life is short, and you're only going to have a limited amount of time that you're really going to be able to do things. At some point, you're not going to be able to do the things you used to do. So what does he say? He says, "Rejoice, young man, while you are young, and let your heart be glad in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes." Okay, we need to be glad in the days of our youth. Now, a lot of times we're not glad in the days of our youth because there's a lot of things we can do in our youth that we're not glad about. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, beautiful. I love the fall. I don't want to do anything in the summer. I hate the summer. It's my least favorite time of year. But I love the fall, boy. It's cool because it's all kind of yard work and stuff that I like to do, and I like to do it when it's cool. And so I got out there yesterday morning, and weed eating is not as bad when it's cool. It's still bad, but it ain't as bad. I get out there and you weed eat, and you gotta trim your shrubs back. And I cut grass all day yesterday, from 8:30 till about 4:30. I cut grass, a lot of grass. Just cut grass and cut grass and cut grass. And I had to pick up limbs and some big limbs and big pieces of trees that had fell. And I had to cut limbs and I had to pile limbs up. And I had to do all this stuff. And we may be tempted when we're younger to complain about that. I don't want to do all that. I'm tired of cutting grass. I'm tired of picking up limbs. I'm tired of cleaning the house. I'm tired of washing clothes. I'm tired of washing dishes. But there's a lot of people that as they've gotten older, guess what they do every day? They lay in the bed. They sit in their chair. And you know what they do? They look outside and they say, "Boy, I wish I could get out there and work in the yard." So we need to think about that before we complain. Now, I understand it's hard work. I understand. But we need to realize that in some way that hard work is a blessing. That I can be able to go out there and pick up those limbs. I don't enjoy it. That's not my favorite thing to do. Like, I don't just say every week, "Man, Lord, please blow a good wind, because I want to pick up some more limbs. I don't enjoy it that much. But there needs to be some enjoyment. When we're having to work hard and we're having to really put in overtime, that we're having to make that extra money so we can pay our bills, so we can put shoes on our kids' feet. And it's hard work, and you sacrifice sleep. All of those things are tough, but you need to rejoice in those things. That you got a kid you can provide for, and a wife you can take care of, and a husband you can be there for. It's not always easy, and sometimes we complain about these things, but maybe there is some rejoicing that needs to take place. Maybe he's not just saying rejoice that you can play football without stretching and pulling a hamstring. Maybe he's saying enjoy some of the things that we don't enjoy. Realize that one day you're not going to be able to do these things. One day you're not even going to be able to dress yourself. One day you're not going to be able to make it to the bathroom on time. These things are coming for us. We need to rejoice in the things that we're able to do while we're young. Even the things that we may not realize are good now, they are better than we think. And so the author of Ecclesiastes says, look, life is short. That's the title of this sermon. Life is short and then you die. You say, boy, that's kind of depressing. Well, that's kind of the book of Ecclesiastes. That's kind of life. I hate to break it to you. If you come in here today and you didn't know that, that's life, okay? So what are you going to do in that time period? Life is short. One day you're going to die. So what are you going to do? The author of Ecclesiastes says, make the most of it. He says, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Now, we got to be careful with that right there. What I don't think he's saying is, that's a blank check to do what you want. Look, you're young, you only live once, you're going to die, so go out, whatever your eyes see, that you just go do what your heart desires. I know that's what it says, but we got to be careful how we take that. Because I don't think what he's saying is, just go party and throw caution to the wind and not care about anything else in the world other than what you want. I don't think that that's what he's saying there. I think that there are some things in life that really matter, that are important. And we need to understand what those things are. And when our mind is right, and when our heart is right, and when we are seeking God, our desires change. Now, when we live for ourselves and we live for the world, there are certain worldly things we desire. We don't want to follow after those desires of the world. If we only took this one little verse out of context, then maybe you could make the argument that it says, YOLO, you only live once, do what you want to do. But we have to look at passages like these in light of all the other Scripture. And certainly that's not the message of all of Scripture, is do what you want to do. We're called to serve God. We're called to live in obedience to Him. When we live for ourselves, then we have a certain set of desires and things that our eyes see that we long for. But there's something that happens in our life once we begin to trust in the Lord. Once we begin to put our faith in God, guess what? Our desires change. The things that our eyes used to be drawn to are not appealing to us anymore. And so we do want to follow the desires of our heart and the desires of our eyes, but if those desires aren't founded on God and His Word and His instruction, then we're going to get ourselves in trouble. I do think throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, the author is telling us, look, you need to enjoy life, not in a wild and crazy and sinful way, but God has been good to us, and He's blessed us with a beautiful world, and I think it's okay to enjoy that. I think God wants us to enjoy this world, and enjoy the people of this world, and enjoy the nature of this world, to go to the lake, to sit on the cabin in the mountains and look at the beauty of God and just reflect in nature and enjoy the things that He blesses you with and enjoy your family and enjoy your church. And there are beautiful things that God gives us. And I believe that God wants us to have enjoyment in this life. It's pretty tough when we don't have enjoyment. It's pretty tough in seasons of difficulty. And sometimes we have those seasons in life. They may last a week or a month or maybe even a year or maybe longer. Sometimes there's seasons where there's not too much enjoyment. Or there's things that are really tough and there are seasons that are really hard. But when we can, when we're able to, we need to enjoy the beauty of what God has blessed us with. And we need to rejoice in it while we are still young. Because one day, we're not going to be young anymore. So he says, look, go after the desires of the heart, the thing that your eyes see, the good things, not the sinful things. And here's what we need to pay attention to. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Now here's the good news. We are free to do whatever we want to do. God gives us free will. Praise the Lord. He does not force us to do a single thing. You weren't forced to come to this church today. You chose to come. Well, I say that. Hopefully none of you were forced to come. Hopefully you all come with your free will. But we have free will to do what we want. If you want to lie, cheat, and steal, you've got free will to do that. If that's what you want to do, you have the ability to do that. If you want to help people and love people and be gracious to people and meet the needs of others, you're free to do that. You can do whatever you choose to do. I can't make you do anything. I guess the Lord could, but He does not. He chooses to allow us to make our own choices. You can do what you want to do. But know this, whatever you do, one day you're going to stand before the Lord. But know that in all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Now that should impact our choices that we make. You're free to choose anything, But you need to know if you choose the wrong things that you're going to have to answer to God for that one day. And that should grab a hold of us. That should get our attention. Perhaps this verse should be a verse that we need to ask God to bring to our minds as we are making decisions in our daily life. In the things that we're about to say, the words that are about to come out of our mouth, maybe we need to think about this verse. Okay, I can say whatever I want to say to this person, but just know the words that are coming out of my mouth, I'm going to have to answer to God for those words. Maybe we'd think twice before we said the things that we say or do the things that we do. Knowing that I can do this thing, I can punch this guy in the nose right now. He said something to me I didn't like. I can bust him in the nose. I can beat him down. I can do that right now. But one day I'm going to have to stand before God. And that should guide our decisions. That should help us to think twice before we do what we want to do. So we follow the desires of our heart, but you better be careful what desires that you follow. For one day you will have to stand in judgment before God. He continues on in verse 10, "Remove sorrow from your heart and put away pain from your flesh, because youth and the prime of life are fleeting." That's kind of an encouraging verse, right? Life is tough, life is sad, life is hard. But what does he say? Remove sorrow from your heart and put away pain from your flesh, because you're young. You got to live. You got to go. You got to do while you're able to do. You don't have time to lay around and feel sorry for yourself. You have to get up and you have to keep going, and life goes on. Don't be depressed. You're young. Life is short. You got to make the most of the time that you have, because one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be old. It is unbelievable how fast life goes. When you're young, you don't realize it. When you're young, life goes so slow. And I'm still not terribly old, but even at 42, you look back one day and you say, where have the years gone? It just doesn't seem right. I see parents sometimes with small children, and I'll hear them tell other, or grown children, I'll hear them tell other parents with small children, hey, you better cherish these moments, because they in kindergarten today and they'll be in college tomorrow. It goes so quickly. Everything in life goes so quickly. And you don't realize that when you're younger, but that's why we need books like Ecclesiastes to call this to our attention. That life is short. You got to make decisions, and you got to make memories, and you got to live for people and love people and help people and make an impact for the kingdom of God while you can. Amen. Because you don't have forever. One day you're not going to be able to get up and go and do what you want to do. Praise the Lord, every one of you can today. Every one of you was able to get here today, praise the Lord, so we can still get up and do a little bit. Not as much maybe as you want to. Maybe not as much as you could do 5 years ago. But we got to make the most of the time that the Lord gives us. Now flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I love this section of Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. This is another call to the young person. He says in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, "So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come, and the years approach when you will say, I have no delight in them." All right, this is a good command for us, that we need to learn who God is, that we need to know who God is, that God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life, that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, that He was nailed to a cross, that He was raised from the grave, and by the price that He's paid, we can be healed through Jesus Christ. The author of Ecclesiastes, you need to know who God is when you're young. You need to learn who God is. You need to know the commands of God, the Word of God, the instructions of God. You need to trust in God, and you need to follow God. He needs to be your foundation, and He needs to be your strength. Why? Because one day life's going to get tough. And when life gets tough, who are you going to call on? And praise the Lord. If we follow the Lord from a youth and we're growing in Him and seeking Him and looking at His Word, then praise the Lord. That's going to be our foundation. That's going to be who we call to and who we hold on to and who we pray to and who we seek in our times of trouble. But if you don't know the Lord, who are you going to seek? What are you going to seek? Well, whatever it is, it's not going to be able to give you the strength that you need. Only the Lord can do that, I can guarantee you. Only the Lord can give you the strength you need today to get through what you're going through today and what you'll go through in the future. And the quicker we learn that, the better off we're going to be. So remember the Creator in the days of your youth. The quicker you learn who God is and trust Him, the better you'll be. And why? He says, before the days of adversity come. Days of adversity are coming. We face them all the time. We face them when we're young. We face them when we're old. Now, in the context here, he's talking about old age. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, here's some advice to the young man, because one day, days of adversity are going to come. That is, you're going to get old, and when you get old, life's going to be a lot harder than it is right now. And the years approach when you will say, I have no delight in them. Boy, that's kind of a scary thing to think about, but it's true. We all know it's true. Sadly, we have friends and family. If you don't believe that those words are true, then after service today, you need to go over to any nursing home of your choice, and you need to walk down those halls, and you need to look at all those people. So many of them in the bed can't move. Some of them can't communicate. Some of them don't know who they are, where they're at, what's going on in the world. I believe that those people would probably say, if they could communicate, that they are living in days that they have no delight in them. I go see people sometimes, people in those shape, and it's not uncommon to hear older people say, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to go. Why? Because they are saying exactly what this verse is saying. They've got to a point in life where they have no delight in their days. They had delight in their days when they were younger, when they could go and do and work and raise a family and things were good. But as you get older, you can't do those things. You have to depend on other people. You become a bother or a burden. Those are the biggest two words I usually hear from older folks. I wish the Lord would take me home. I'm just a bother to everybody. I'm a burden to everybody. And do you know why they say that? Because as we get older, we can't do the things that we used to could do. So we need to think twice before we complain. We need to rejoice in the days of our youth. Because one day, should the Lord permit, we're going to live long enough that we're not going to be able to do those things. He continues on in verse 2. Before the sun and the light are darkened, and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain. Now he's using a lot of symbolism here, a lot of imagery to get his point across. Now as we read these next few verses, what he's really talking about is the decline of our bodies in old age. But he uses different language to describe things that we'll talk about. But here we see a good example. The days are darkened, right? Days that it's bright and sunny are usually a lot happier days for you than days that are dark. When it's dark and it's cloudy and it's gloomy, that makes you feel more depressed, even when you're young. And especially maybe as we get older. Those dark days. That's the illustration. That's the symbolism here. We understand what it means during dark days. And as we get older, he says there's going to be dark days. What's the best part about rain? It's dark, it's cloudy, it's windy, it's stormy. But at some point, the clouds clear and the storm passes and the sun comes out. But he's saying that as we approach our old age, that the clouds return after the rain. No sooner than you get through one dark day, it seems like there's one dark day after another, as we begin to grow old. We have a lot more dark days than we do bright days. He says in verse 3, on that day when the guardians of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. Now, what's he talking about here? The guardians of the house and the strong men stoop. Well, he's using symbolic language. He's talking about our arms, our strength. The guardians of the house, it's our arms that's been able to protect us and provide for us so that we can work hard and our strength begins to fail. The strong men stoop. Our backs begin to give out. Our legs begin to give out. We don't walk straight. When you're young, you can walk straight with your shoulders up. You watch some older people. We don't have any in here, so don't look when we leave today. But you watch some older people when they get up and start walking. They kind of stoop a little bit, right? We don't have the strength we used to have. We can't stand up straight like we used to. And that's what the author of Ecclesiastes is pointing out. The women who grind because they are few. Now, what's he talking about there? Women who grind. He's talking about our teeth. When we're young, we got teeth. We can chew. We can eat. What happens as we get older? Our teeth fall out. Now, praise the Lord, modern technology, we can get new teeth. I don't know if they could get new teeth back when he wrote this. As we get older, our teeth begin to fall out. The ones who watch through the windows see dimly. What about our eyesight? Everything seems a little dimmer in my eyes as I get a little older. Anybody else ever experienced that before? A few years ago, it could be almost pitch black dark and I could read. Not anymore. I got this thing that I'm reading this iPad. It's bright. I got it bright because I can't see it if I don't, even with this light over me. Because everything's a little dimmer. Everything that I see is a little dimmer. And that's what he's talking about. Our strength begins to go. Our teeth fall out. Our eyes begin to grow dim. We can't see as good as we used to. Verse 4. The doors at the street are shut while the sound of the mill fades. Anybody in here can't hear as good as you used to? Some of you say, huh? Yeah, it's a lot of you out there that's got hearing aids. Why? Because your doors of the street, your ears are shut. The sound of the mill fades. Things that used to be loud that you could hear from a long way away, now you can't hear anything. You can't even hear your wife and she's sitting in the recliner next to you. Or maybe you can. You just pretend like you can. I don't know. But this is part of life. It's not a fun part of life. Nobody likes to lose their strength. Nobody likes to lose their teeth. Nobody likes to not be able to see and to be able to hear. But it's life. It's coming. It's coming to all of us sooner or later if we live long enough. When one rises at the sound of a bird, it's hard to sleep when you get older. Least little thing wakes you up. You can't rest as good as you used to rest. Just sleep's not as good as it used to be. The least little thing will wake you up. And the daughters of song grow faint. Same idea. You can't hear as good as you used to. All the beautiful songs and the things you used to could hear, those things begin to grow faint in your life. Also, verse 5, also, they are afraid of heights and dangers on the road. Well, that happens, right? It should happen more than it does. There's some people, they're 100 years old, they're out there, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't do nothing. They're just going full speed ahead. They say, I can drive as good as I always could. And they're running over stuff. I remember my grandma, one day we were at the hospital with somebody, and she had drove over there. She come up in the room. She was like, well, I hit a truck in the parking lot. And I was like, what? We were looking at her. She was like, yeah, it's fine. I looked at it. It wasn't no problem. Everything's fine. I was like, you hit a truck? Yeah. She was probably in her 80s at this point. Shouldn't have been driving. So I said, we got to go down there and see what's going on. I went down there. She's like, I barely touched it. It wasn't enough to do nothing. So I go down there, I find her car. There's no truck parked beside her car. They'd already left just in that 5 minutes it took me to get there. The front bumper of her car, the front fender of her car, was, I'm talking about, all caved in with green paint all down it. Oh, I barely touched it. As we get older, we can't see as good as we used to. We can't drive as good as we used to. And for the wiser ones, they realize that and they turn the keys over. For the unwise ones, they argue about it, and the kids have to take the keys, and it turns into a horrible situation. But oftentimes you see, and you've probably, some of you, experienced this, can't see good, can't drive good. First thing that happens, you don't drive at night. Quit driving at night. Why? Because We're afraid of the heights and the dangers of the road. We know that we just can't get around as good as we used to. The author of Ecclesiastes points out a truth that we're all familiar with. The almond tree blossoms. Has anybody ever seen an almond tree blossom before? You know what color it is? It's kind of a white color. Anybody in here got any white hair? Yep, that's right. The almond tree blossoms. We get old, our hair begins to turn white, and our beards begin to turn gray and begin to turn white. I was in the store the other day, and I walked by a dude, and I was looking at something, and he was looking at something, and then a second later, he turned to me, and he says, "Oh, I didn't recognize that was you, Shanny." He said, I didn't know you had that much white in your beard." All right. Nice to see you, too. It happens, right? We begin to get white as we get older. The grasshopper loses its spring. Well, you see a grasshopper, what? They get those legs the way they spring up. They can fly a long way. And that's how we can do when we're young. We can spring up. When you're young, you can get on the floor and you can spring up. When you get old, you can't do that so much. I get on the floor just about every night and play with our puppy. And some nights I don't get up as fast as I used to get up. I'll turn the wrong way and be like, "Ooh, got something in my knee or in my side." And used to, you could just spring up. When you're young, your legs work good. You can spring up, you can go, and you can do. But when you get old, he says, the grasshopper loses his spring. The caperberry has no effect. And the caperberry is used, it's like medicine. It's used for a lot of medical purposes. At some point, even the medicines don't help. Some of you take 15, 20 pills a day. You still feel bad. And you say, "I just don't know what's wrong. I got to find a new doctor. I just don't know what's wrong." I know what's wrong. You're over 80 years old. I know you don't want to hear it, and I'm sorry. But the book of Ecclesiastes tells us this way back then, that as we get older, even the medicines ain't going to help. For man is headed to his eternal home. He says, when you start seeing these things, when your eyes ain't working and your ears ain't working and you got no teeth and your hair is white and you can barely get up, move, and your medicines don't help and you still feel bad, he says, man is headed to his eternal home. Life is coming to a close. Maybe it's a few weeks, maybe it's a few years. But at some point in our life, these bodies, as they begin to fail, we're going to go to our eternal home. Now, what that eternal home is, well, that's up to you. That's up to you. The choices you make. Did you choose Jesus Christ? Did you reject Jesus Christ? All those things that he said, follow the desires of your heart and the things that your eyes see, but know that in all these things you'll stand in judgment before God. He's talking to the young people. He say, pay attention, young people. Pay attention. You can go and you can do and you rejoice in that. But you better make good choices in what you do. And you better know God. And you better come to know Him and trust Him while you're still young. Because one day, here's what's going to happen. And he goes through and he tells us all the things. You're going to get old and here's all the things that's going to happen. And then you're going to die. Life is short, and then you die. And then you're going to an eternal home. You're either going to spend an eternity with God, or you're going to spend an eternity in hell. One day, this life's coming to an end. He says in the next verse, verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped and the gold bowl is broken. Now, this is probably a reference to the spinal cord and the brain. It's hard to know exactly what these are. Those are the two most popular thoughts as to what he's speaking of here. And the jar is shattered at the spring and the wheel is broken into the well. Probably talking about our heart. Our heart beginning to fail. That's the wheel that spins, the spring that puts our blood all the way through us. Eventually, all of our body is going to shut down. Our brains are going to shut down. Our hearts going to shut down. And then he says in verse 7, and the dust returns to the earth as it once was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. One day, every single one of us is going to die. If Jesus does not return, we're going to die. Life is so short, men and women and children. Life is so short. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe that coming from a 42-year-old, you find you somebody that's lived into their 80s and their 90s, if you can find somebody 100, and I want you to ask them if life is short or not. Life is so short. What kind of decisions are you making? Are you taking care of your wife? Are you taking care of your husband? Are you taking care of your kids? Are you helping people around you that you can help? Are you being a light to the world? Are you trusting in the Lord? Do you know who God is? Have you trusted in the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Is He your foundation? Is He your strength? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you know that your sins are forgiven today? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that there are dark days ahead, but we serve a God who can strengthen you and be with you? Even if you make it to 100 years old and the days are dark and your body's shut down, did you know that God still cares for you? That He has not left you? And that one day this old world's going to come to an end, and when it does, God's going to take you home to be with Him if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that we do and that we waste our time on that don't amount to a hill of beans, that ain't going to make any difference in this world. The author of Ecclesiastes says we need to do things that will make a difference. And you need to do them while you can, because one day you will not be able to. So rejoice in the Lord while you are still young. Next time you want to complain about something you're able to do, maybe you need to think twice. Maybe while you're doing something that you would rather not do and you rejoice in the Lord, maybe you think about a brother or sister in Christ that's got a home that's grown up with weeds or limbs that need picking up, and maybe their day has passed and they're no longer able to do it. Well, rejoice, man and woman, in your youth. You can go help them. Those are the things that make a difference. That's what makes the world go round. Even those who are older, they still have something to contribute to society. They still are important. They still have wisdom that they can impart to those of us who are young. Let us love those who are older. Let us provide for those who are older. Let us seek the wisdom of those who are older. Rejoice, young man, while you are young, because one day every one of us will have to stand before the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your good word. I pray, God, that You would just help us, if we're younger, to seek You and to try to make the most of the days that You give us, God, that we would rejoice in our strength and our abilities and our blessings that You put before us. I pray for those, God, who may be a little older, and maybe there is discouragement there for not being able to do the things that they once did, and maybe there's frustration, and maybe there's dark days, and maybe there's sadness. I pray that You would strengthen them today, God. I pray that they would call out to You and that they would seek You. God, that You would be their strength until the day comes that You would take them home, God. I pray that as Your people, that You would help us to take care of those, dear Lord, who may not be able to take care of themselves in the same way that they once did. That we would use our strength to strengthen them, and that, God, they would use their wisdom to strengthen us. I thank You for this church. I thank You for these folks that are here, dear Lord. You know where everybody's at today. You know their hearts. You know their struggles. You know what's going on in their life. And I pray, God, that if there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, that maybe today through your word, their eyes have been opened. Maybe today they know that there are some things in their life that should not be there that they need to repent of, God. You call us to repent, to turn away, to stop doing what we've been doing, to ask you to forgive us, dear Lord, to stop living for ourselves and to start living for you. God, I pray that if there are any that came into this building today that do not know Jesus Christ, that maybe the Holy Spirit now is convicting them. And even now, God, that they would pray to you and ask you to forgive them, that they would follow Jesus Christ. God, maybe there are some here today and they're yours, but maybe they just see areas that they need to do a little better. I pray that you would help us to see those things and to grow in you, dear Lord, that we would do the things that you desire for us to do. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.